Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart. Thanks.
Okay, great. Do you want to just say hi to the people around you? Give them a welcome. Janie. Have you got? It's all right. Brilliant. Okay. As many of you know, Jane and I were away last week and arrived back last Friday from Israel. We were helping to lead a tour over there, and we had about 58 people there for the week. Most of them have never been before, and many of them just encountered God really during the week in different places. And just a really powerful time. One of the days we heard from a Holocaust survivor an amazing story of how she grew up and how she was protected, you know, through the Second World War and everything. Very moving, very kind of touching story, but just emphasizes even after the war, the rest of her life and the challenges and struggles there have been, just being a Jew and what she's faced, shows the reality of what goes on now, not just, 60, 70 years ago. And so that was very kind of powerful, moving story. Met other people who live in the land and how they came to know the Lord, what God is doing in the land now, both Jew and Arab, and how God is bringing them together as one new man, you know, in Christ together. So amazing time, as well as doing some of the sites and all those kind of things. It's always a privilege to take people there and the Bible just coming alive in a fresh way. So if you've never been to Israel, I want to encourage you. There's going to be a couple of tours next year, one at the end of August that we're sort of working on at the moment. It's going to be geared towards kind of 16 to 35-year-olds, that sort of age. We're working with a number of different guys with that. Bengt Wildermann's one of them, Chip Kay from up Audacious in Manchester, and a number of other people. And we're aiming to take about 300 or 400 people of that age group for a week, which would be pretty awesome. But then also another tour at the end of October next year. That's an all-age tour. So if you've never been, I want to encourage you to. God has spoken to us about a real mandate to do with Israel and how that's kind of, we haven't got time to go into what that is now, but how we are wanting to see that be more fulfilled. And just as a church, when you go there, it's like something comes alive in you in a fresh way. The Bible comes alive. It moves from black and white to technicolor. You get God's heart for the nation there, the people there, not just the Jews, but also the Arabs, the Palestinians, and what is actually going on there. Because God's heart is that all men should be saved, right? God's not on anybody's side. He is on his own side, and he wants to line everybody up with him and his purpose. So it's not about whose side are you on. We're on God's side, and his heart is for every person to come to know him, no matter what their background, race, or religion. Is. So that will give you more kind of info about that soon. But if you've never been, I want to encourage you. There's some amazing stories from some of the people that were there on the tour that they said, well, I didn't have the money. I couldn't afford it. And yet I kind of said to the Lord, I'd love to go. Would you make a way possible somehow? And just through different people's stories of how God provided, or they had some money to do a certain thing with it, and they felt God say that they put Israel first and put some money aside to go there, and I'll provide, and how he then provided what they needed for other things and all of that sort of thing. So don't necessarily think, it's a lot of money, 1,000, 1,200 quid to go. It's God can do amazing things to provide for you to go when he wants you to go. So anyway, that's not our subject this morning, but it was an amazing time. And we'll share some other things coming up soon as well to do with things to do with Israel. Are you ready? Yeah. Grab your Bible, whether it's literally on paper in your hands or on a phone or an iPad or whatever you've got, and just turn to Mark chapter 5. And we're going to go through a couple of stories from verse 21 onwards. Mark chapter 5, verse 21 onwards. As you know, our overall theme at the moment during the autumn is be light. Okay, God has called us to be light in our lives. Light in our families, light in our homes, light in our workplace, light in our community, light in our town. He's called us to be light. And wherever there is light, it always pierces the darkness. It always overcomes the darkness. Does anybody believe that this morning? So you only need light when there is darkness. And so the Bible calls us a city on a hill. We are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And all those things we've been looking at. And so we want to kind of continue on in that theme this morning and look at a couple of stories. Just turn to your neighbor and say, it's never too late. Okay, we're going to unpack this morning that in the context of what God's saying. It's never too late. Okay, say it again to them. Okay, now say to them, okay, just believe. Look them in the eye and say, just believe. Okay, you ready? I'm going to aim to bring this message in 20 minutes. Is that all right? You can time me. Yeah, nothing's impossible for those who believe. So that's why, just believe, right? And because we want to have time to respond and what God wants to do this morning. Some of you are in situations where you feel stuck. It could be you need healing. It could be something else needs releasing. It just feels like there's a challenge or something's stuck or whatever. And God wants to unstick some things today. That was your opportunity. God wants to unstick things today. We're going to preach together this morning, right? So let's have a look at these stories and get on with it so that I literally will stick to 20 minutes. When Jesus again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. While we're reading this, just picture the scenarios, okay? Many of us have read these stories before, and it's easy just to look at them or hear them and go, yeah, great, I've heard that before. But just picture what is going on in these situations and some of the emotion that must have been taking place as we read these stories, okay? Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell on his feet. Sorry, he fell at his feet. That would be difficult to fall on your feet unless you're jumping from a great height. Anyway, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. Then he said to Jesus, my little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. Okay, so the synagogue ruler comes up and he's heard about Jesus. He's not going to come to a guy he's never heard of and doesn't know any stories about and say, please, will you come and heal my daughter? So he must have heard some stories. He might have seen Jesus heal people. But in the moment he was in, no matter how religious he was, no matter how many times he'd been to the synagogue, he was in a situation where Jesus was the only answer. It was his last hope, his last opportunity. And he knew in this moment, he fell at his feet to worship and to plead with him, say, please, please. Now, as a parent, if you knew one of your kids was dying, what would you do? I don't think any of us as parents would have a que sera sera attitude. They'd be like, oh, well, never mind. My child's dying. Well, so what? You know, I think we would try everything, would we not, to make sure our child doesn't die. We believe in healing and we believe that God heals today. Sometimes when we pray, boom, it happens straight away. Other times a miracle gets activated, but it seems to take a bit of time to outwork until the full healing has taken place. All right. And but yet we believe. But in sometimes in that process, we go to the doctor, we get medicines, we'll do anything to make sure our child is in less pain, less discomfort, and to try and ease it as much as possible. This guy knew that Jesus was his last opportunity. So he comes and he pleads with him, and he manages to get Jesus's attention. It says large crowds were following him. Large crowds were pressing around. If you were a parent, what would you do if the answer to your predicament, your situation was there? There were large crowds around. Would you just stand on the edge going, would you mind? You wouldn't care, because if your child was dying, what would you do? You would push everybody out of the way to get to the one person that can bring healing or deliverance or the answer into your situation. Anybody be like that? Or would you all be just, oh, it's all right, you know? Or would we be like, no, I'm going to get to the answer. I'm going to push through every fear, every opposition, every political correctness, everything that would say you can't be like that, because there's something stronger on the inside of you at that moment than all the pressure and the negativity on the outside, right? So he pushes through. He gets in front of Jesus and he pleads with him. What does he say? Please come and touch her and she will be healed. So his point of faith at that moment was, Jesus, if you can just touch her, that's it. If I can just get Jesus to come to my house and touch my daughter, boom, that's it. She's going to be healed. And he manages to get to him, and Jesus says to him, so Jesus went with him. So imagine the relief there must have been for Jairus at that moment. All the pressure, the build-up. If I can just get to this guy, push through the crowd, get to him, get his attention. Will he be interested? Will he want to know? And can I get him to say yes? And Jesus says, come on, then let's go. And the relief there must have been at that moment. Wow, he's coming. I've got him. I've got the one who's going to heal my daughter. This is brilliant. And imagine what he was feeling. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. This is great. Come on, Jesus. This is awesome. Oh, this is going to be good. And then in the middle of that, the whole crowd following him, the whole crowd pressing around Jesus, the parent in that moment going, this is great. I've got his attention. My daughter's going to be okay. In the middle of that, it then says a woman was there in verse 25. While the crowd were pressing around Jesus, who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal of under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. For that lady, because of her sickness, many of you will know this, but she was unclean. Therefore, she wouldn't be allowed out in public because she would make others unclean. Then she could be stoned for doing that. But yet there was something on the inside that was more powerful than the fear of the outside or the circumstances or what might happen to her. And the faith that she had at that moment, because what does she say or what does it say about her? After suffering and spending all her money and nobody could help her, she was getting worse. Verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. So here's this lady, but she'd been sick for many years, no money. She couldn't have any contact with the community, with her family or friends. She was an outcast. She was unclean. But yet she'd heard about the one who was the answer. She'd heard stories of people getting healed, of miracles happening, of what this man is saying and what goes on around him. She'd heard about him. And her point of faith was, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I don't even need to get his attention. I don't even need to get him to look at me or to speak to me. If I just touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be healed. Now, we've got an amazing picture we just want to put on the screen for you. Hopefully you'll be able to see it. Now, this picture was painted by somebody over in Israel. And there's a particular site that we visited called Magdala. And it's on the Sea of Galilee. And it's where Mary Magdalene is from. And basically they excavated this town, this place. And they've excavated a synagogue that is from the first century. And the other things they found there would be when Jesus was alive. And so he would have actually taught in that synagogue, which is amazing. So we were kind of walking, and it's like, wow, literally Jesus had been here a couple of thousand years ago. And they, down right on the edge of the sea, the lake, they've built this kind of very modern-looking sort of church building. And down underneath in one of the rooms, they've put a huge painting, an arc sort of shape, curved shape of this. And it's the woman who pressed through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. And because they believe that that area is where that miracle took place. So we just want to leave that up there for a minute. So here's this lady. There's loads of opposition around her, okay? Fear, I could get stoned. She's been suffering for 12 years. Emotionally, she was probably struggling. Mentally, she could have been struggling. Physically, her whole life was kind of going down, was negative, was going backwards in the wrong direction. But yet she'd heard of the one. But she knew, if I go public, if I try and get in amongst the crowd and try and reach Jesus, if I don't get to him, but then they realize who I am, they could stone me. This could be the end of my life. Yet something on the inside was stronger than all of that opposition of fear of what might happen to her. And she just thought, if I can just press through somehow and touch the hem of his garment. Now, she obviously had an understanding that if you were a rabbi and the hem of your robe that you wore, some have tassels on them that represented different things, but some might have had something like this garment had. But she understood, if I touch the rabbi, if I touch the hem of his garment, the healing garment, then I'm going to get healed. So her point of faith was, if I just touch him, I don't need to get his attention. What was Jesus' response at that? He stopped. Verse 30, at once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? It wasn't even like somebody touched him. He's like, who touched my clothes? And because he knew that if somebody came with faith and just touched his robe, they would get healed. Power had gone out from him. Isn't it amazing that often we think that we have to pray in such a way to get God's attention to listen to us before we then command or decree or pray something or expect God to do something. Jairus' point of faith was, if I can get to Jesus and him come to my house, then my daughter is going to be healed and so on. This lady's point of faith was, if I just touch him, I don't even have to get his attention and the power that is in this guy is going to get released and I'm going to be healed. I think God wants us to throw out some of the religiosity of how we pray sometimes so that we're not praying in a way to try and get God's attention. See, God is not moved by need. He's moved by faith. There's loads of need in the world. If God was moved by need, there would be no need. But he is moved by faith. So when we believe, something takes place. Now, a lot of need in the world can be sorted out by people who believe, okay? And so sometimes there's a lot of stuff we could sort out that God is waiting for us to go and sort out. But that's another subject, all right, for now. But this lady knew that, so I don't even have to get his attention, I just need to touch him. And this morning, it's not about trying to get God's attention in our lives or for those that we're praying for. God wants us to touch the hem of his garment. He wants to push through fear and the things that come from left field to try and take us off the direction that we are going in. Imagine Jairus at this moment. What was he doing? Because he's still halfway through his story. This woman's just interrupted his story, his moment with her own life moment. And she's kind of distracted the one who can heal his daughter. What was going on in him at that moment? So he's on his way with Jesus thinking, I've got his attention, this is going to be cool. And then suddenly he's walking and Jesus has stopped back there somewhere. And he's like, hang on, Jesus, you're supposed to be coming to my house. And now you got kind of distracted by this lady. Imagine then what rose up in this guy as a parent. Hang on a minute, hang on, she's dying and I had his attention and now I haven't. And he's dealing with somebody else. And imagine what he was like, Jesus, come on, Jesus, hey, come on. No, don't get distracted. And Jesus is dealing with this lady and she comes before him and says, it was me who had touched you. And he said, go, daughter, your faith has made you well. And yet the parent, Jairus, here is going, Jesus, come on, come on, come on. What does Jesus do? He turned round. What does he say? Everything's okay. Just believe. What a place of rest. The moment didn't distract Jesus. The lady was not a distraction. Because there was something else God was doing. At the same time, he was on his way to heal the daughter, something else came on the way, and she just got healed as he was on the way. There are things that God wants to do in our lives and through our lives. We're on the way, and there's stuff that will come in that sometimes we think, hang on, Jesus, your attention's gone somewhere else. How many of you know God can do more than one thing at the same time? How many of you know that God is never distracted by something else, that he takes his attention off what you believe? See, what did Jesus do? He agreed with Jairus' statement of faith. Because Jairus said, if you come to my house and you touch my daughter, she will be healed. So Jesus was like, great, that's what you believe. I'm going to come with you. I'll just come to your house. I'll touch her and she'll be healed. Now, on the way, Jesus is not aware of this woman, okay? He's just on his way with Jairus, and then suddenly, boom, power goes out for him. And he's like, whoa, hang on a minute. Somebody touched me with faith, not just a crowd who were walking with me. There's a difference between just kind of being in and around Jesus and then touching him with faith to see a release of life and power. And so suddenly power went from him and he was like, oi, hang on a minute. Let's just stop here for a sec. We'll come to the healing in a moment, because that's how Jesus was thinking. Jairus was like, hey, hang on a minute, Jesus. Yet Jesus dealt with that moment. And when Jairus was like, Jesus, come on. He's like, Jairus, it's okay. The healing's already been released back here. When you came and said to me, would you come to my house and touch? It was done. It's sorted. So just believe, mate. It's okay. And sometimes when we pray or God has spoken, the enemy wants to try and undermine what we believe. He wants to try and rob what we believe. He wants something to come left field. It was a good thing that came from left field in that moment, because this lady got healed. It wasn't a bad thing. But the enemy does want to use stuff to try and left field us in moments where we think God is not looking at what we need to see happen now. He's looking somewhere else. And what God wants us to do is push through distractions, push through fear, push through it hasn't happened yet, or is it going to happen? And all the rubbish that the enemy comes with. We're praying for friends and family to come to know him during this year. And we could have conversations and they don't seem that interested. That can be like a left field moment. Well, they don't seem that interested yet. I'm praying like we all are, but nothing seems to be happening yet. Keep going. Keep pushing through. See, when that lady had to push through the crowd, what was going on in that moment? She was standing there. The crowd were there. Jesus was in the middle of the crowd. And in there, she could have had fear. Right, if I press through there and I'm found out, I've had it. So I don't know if I want to press through that. When did the fear get broken? As soon as she took the first step. The fear wasn't broken when she touched his garment. The fear was shattered off as she took a step and said, I'm going to go for this no matter what. So the fear, the opposition, the political correctness of the moment, all of that was broken off as she took the steps towards the answer, the release, the breakthrough, the breakout in that moment. And so as we keep moving forward, we don't allow fear to grip us. We don't allow unbelief to replace faith. We don't allow doubt or to give it space to hinder what God is doing. Are you here this morning? It's nearly 20 minutes, right? And so what happens? This woman gets healed. He says, go, your faith has made you well. He says to Jairus, it's okay, mate, just believe. So they arrive at the house. And what happens? The on the way, his friends, some of the guys who worked with Jairus, said, hey, don't worry the teacher, your daughter has died. You know, with God, it's never too late. It's never too late. It's never too late for a miracle. It's never too late to see your family or friends saved. It's never too late for what God wants to do. Because when God has spoken, sometimes the circumstances will say on the way, oh, you've missed it, or it's too late, or you should have prayed earlier, you should have done something sooner. But how many of you know that God loves to do something out of the impossible? He loves to do something when something seems dead, buried and finished. He loves to bring life to that, because then we know, man, that was God. I couldn't have done that. That was a God thing, right? And so they tell him, you know, on the way, your daughter is dead. But what does Jesus say? Jesus says, hey, don't worry, she is just asleep. What does faith sound like sometimes? Faith sometimes sounds ridiculous. in the natural, doesn't it? So here's this scenario. So imagine it, Jesus with Jairus, and Jesus on his way. They're probably having a chat about some stuff. And Jairus is thinking, oh, I've got Jesus' attention. This is going to be cool. And then the report comes, look, don't worry him anymore. She's died. I mean, I don't know if Jairus at that moment sank, but Jesus said, it's okay. Let's keep going. She's only asleep. Let's go and wake her up. And he, what is he saying to Jairus? Remember what you said a few minutes ago, 20 minutes ago, whatever. Remember you said, come to my house, just touch her. You didn't say anything about her dead or dying. You just said, she's dying, you know, come and touch her. So that's what we're going to do. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are, whether they've changed or they're not what you thought they were, or they seem impossible, because you spoke over here, just come and do this and this will happen. So let's keep going, because the power of faith, the power of what you believe and the power of what I've said is stronger than any circumstance, any negativity or anything says it is impossible. And so Jesus was basically going on the faith of Jairus' statement here, saying that's more powerful than this right now. So when he got there, he found everybody wailing and crying and everything. What did he do? He threw the unbelief out of the room. And he took Peter, James and John with him. He took the faith into the room with the parents and said, right, okay, now we can wake her up. You see, when God has spoken to you, when you believe something and you know what God has said, you don't have to convince anybody else. Because when God has spoken and you know something, it's like, that's it. It's done. It's settled. It's sorted. So when we're praying for our friends and family, for example, and God gives us a scripture, he gives us a word, he speaks to us and faith gets released. And instead of pleading with God, saying, God, please, would you save him? Please, would you save? And you get a scripture or some stuff from God. Instead of that, your prayer changes. Instead, you're like, Father, I thank you that you've given me this word for my mum or my dad or my kids or my brother or my cousin. I thank you for you giving me a scripture for my work colleague, my friend. And so I just speak that right now over their life. Father, I thank you for their salvation. I thank you for that release. I just come against all the rubbish, this, that, and the other. I thank you, Father, for your victory in this situation. Faith prays with thanksgiving because the outcome has already been decided. When we pray with hope, we're saying, I hope something happens. So if I pray in the right way, would you do something, God? Rather than God has spoken, that's it, so everything's going to be okay. It might be a rough ride getting there sometimes. But we know what the outcome is because on the inside, that's it. It's settled. And Jesus operated like that. It's okay. Your daughter's just asleep. Everything's going to be all right. But when you believe something and others around you don't, sometimes faith looks a bit silly, a bit ridiculous, a bit unreal. Because faith is not natural. It's supernatural. It releases something supernatural into the natural, right? And so what took place? He went over to the girl. He took her by the hand and he said, Talitha kaum, which means little girl, I say to you, get up. And immediately the girl stood up and walked around. At that, they were completely astonished. And then, I don't know how they're going to keep this quiet, but verse 43, he then gave strict orders to them to not let anyone know about this. It's like, how are you going to do that? You know, because everybody knows she's dead or was dead. But yet, why did Jesus say that? Because his motive is not for a crowd, for accolades and attention. The motive of Jesus is this is all for the glory of God. So don't go around just, oh, Jesus did this, Jesus did that. Because Jesus said all the glory's got to go to the Father. So his heart motive in a situation is not, I heal people to get a crowd so that people will follow me. Jesus' heart motive is totally for you as an individual or for the people you're praying for, saying, I'm here to bring healing right now for you. Whether anybody else ever knows about it, you and me do. That's his heart. It's not motivated by the crowd or by accolades or anything like that. So there's two things from this morning. Firstly, okay, a quick short message this morning. Firstly, it's never too late for a miracle. It's never too late for God to do something. Whether that's healing, whether that's in a circumstance, a situation that you're challenged with, it's never too late to see your friend or family member saved. Pete was saying earlier in the prayer meeting at one point, he's saying, your dad's how old? his dad's 84, not saved yet, right? And he's praying for him. And God's given Peter a word. Your dad's not going to die before he's saved. And you think, 84, that's getting on a bit. And he's been praying for him for a while. But yet, God's given him promises. So he's not saying, please, God, time's running out. Please, God, time's running out. He's saying, well, Father, you give me this promise, so I'm going to continue to speak that. And whether he gets saved on his deathbed or whether he gets saved before that, everything's okay because you've spoken and given me a promise. And so maybe, Pete said, maybe God's just keeping him alive until he gets saved, until the guy actually eventually goes, all right, Jesus, I surrender, you know, or whatever. But the amazing thing is, when there's faith there, it's stronger than fear. Fear has to flee when faith is there, because faith isn't motivated by fear. Faith says it's okay because God has spoken. So let's all stand together this morning. And what we're gonna press through the crowd. We're gonna press through stuff this morning. And like this lady, if we can have the picture back up. Thanks, guys. We're gonna press through some stuff this morning. Some of you need a miracle in your body today. Some of you need a breakthrough in your body. If the guys could come up, that'd be brilliant. Some of you need a breakthrough in your body today. And for some, it's like, I've been like that woman. I've had this stuff going on for quite a few years. I've spent some money on some medication, and I don't actually feel any better than I was. I've had treatment, but it doesn't seem to have done it. I've had this, that, and the other. And sometimes I just struggle, and it's affected me mentally and how I think and how what I believe. And sometimes I struggle emotionally. Some of you feel like you've been a bit like that woman, okay? Maybe you've had a different kind of illness situation. But I believe God's just saying this morning, hey, throw off the fear. Throw off any doubt. Throw off anything that says it's not going to happen. Throw off the lies of the enemy. Throw off whatever has hindered you and press through and touch me this morning. You have God's attention. So we're not in a scenario where we're trying to get God's attention and he's off somewhere else to do something else. God is, his attention is fully here. It's fully wherever he's working and moving right now. Some of you, and a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, I was speaking here, and we talked about going to the stronghold to pray, then going to the place of Baal Perazim, which means where the Lord breaks out. So we go to the stronghold, the secret place, to pray for our friends and family, but then we go and be a witness or whatever God tells us to do, and we see the breaking out, the place of Baal Perazim, where David had his victories, and where God breaks out. And this is another kind of thing this morning where God's going to break out. It's another Baal Perazim moment for people this morning. As you press through the crowd, there's going to be a Baal Perazim. Sickness is going to be broken off your life today. You might want to come forward for one of your kids and something's going to be broken off their life this morning. Or you could be here on behalf of a family member who needs to be saved this morning or sometime this week or this month or whenever. But you're going to come forward and say, this is the moment where I'm going to press through the crowd. All the opposition that says, why pray? Because you've been praying for ages and nothing's happened. They're not open now. They never have been and all of that. But I believe God's saying, hey, press through the noise of that and all the opposition of that to that place of Baal Perazim, where it's like, it's time for the breakout of God in this situation. So let's just lift our hands for a moment. Father, we just come and surrender afresh to you today. We thank you for the power of your word that releases faith in our lives. We thank you for that Baal Perazim today, that place of breakout. Father, I thank you for the release of miracles right now, healings in people's bodies, things being broken and shattered off lives this morning, as like this lady did. She pressed through all the noise, the opposition, the what ifs and what might be. And she pressed through saying, if I just press through and I don't even have to get his attention, but if I just press through the crowd, boom, there's going to be a release of his power. So Father, we thank you right now. If you need to respond today, any kind of healing, no matter what it is, however long or short it's been in your life, or you want to come forward for somebody else, just make your way down the front. Don't hold back. Don't take your time. Just step out straight away. I'm going forward. I'm going to go and press through. I'm going to go and I don't care what anybody else thinks in the room right now. I'm going to press through. I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. I'm going to receive everything I need. Sickness is broken off. The diagnosis changes over your life right now. As you pray, come forward, you're saying like Jairus, Jesus, as I press through, if you just touch me or touch my daughter, my son, my dad, my mum, whoever it is, they will be healed. They will be made well. They will receive. They will be saved. If you're praying for the unsaved, come forward right now. Somebody you've had such a burden for. I'm pressing through the crowd right now. I'm touching the hem of your garment, Jesus, on behalf of my mum, my dad, my son, my brother, whoever it is. I'm pressing through right now. Father, I thank you as I press through. I thank you. I receive from you right now. I thank you that diagnosis over people's lives is broken and shattered now. In the name of Jesus, cancer, diagnosis of cancer in people's bodies. We just command healing right now in your body. Every cancerous growth, every cancerous cell to be removed from people's bodies right now. Every diagnosis in bodily organs that has said you've got some disease or disorder. You have to take pills. You have to have medication. You have to have treatment. Anything like that, we take authority over every ailment, over every infirmity, over every sickness right now. We bind it and we command those things to get off of people's bodies right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I speak to backache, muscle problems, muscle disorders, blood disease, heart conditions, mental health issues. I just command life and healing and health right now in people's bodies, in people's minds, in people's lives. Lungs, be healed right now. Bone disorders, be healed. Spine conditions, be healed right now. Ankles that have been damaged through sport and knee injuries, be healed right now in Jesus' name. Hips, be realigned right now. I just command hips to be realigned, backs to come into order. Where there's been sciatica and damages to the discs, I command healing right now. Be free from your suffering right now in Jesus' name. Just reach out, touch him, touch him, touch him, touch him. Take hold of what is yours today. Take hold of what belongs to you right now. He is your healer. He is your healer. He is your healer. Take hold of what is yours right now. He is your health. He is your wholeness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Neck disorders, be healed right now. Shoulder injuries, be healed. Restrictions in the joints, be healed right now. Father, I thank you. Somebody else in your left shoulder blade, just be healed right now in the shoulder blade. Father, we thank you for your healing grace being released now to people's bodies. Somebody's bowels being healed right now. Bowel cancer, I command you to get out of that body now. I command those bowels to be healed in Jesus' name. There's a lady here, your whole reproductive system, you haven't been able to have a child. And God is just touching your reproductive system now. Father, I thank you for your healing grace now in that lady's body. Father, we just command healing right now. Thank you, you are touching that part of that lady's body now. Healing, 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 healing. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. You've had promises. You know you've had promises, and you've been thanking God for the promises of having children. And you've been a bit like Mary, where you said, Father, you give me the promises. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I believe. I believe. I believe. And so, Father, I thank you for the release in that lady's reproductive system. Father, I thank you right now. I praise your awesome name. Just grab what is yours. Take what is yours. He took that sickness to the cross. He crucified it on the cross. And so you can come to him and say, that healing is mine. I'm having health and wholeness in my body right now. Father, I thank you for your healing grace in people's bodies now. I thank you for lungs being healed. Lungs being healed. Lungs being healed. Father, I thank you. Somebody, you've had damage because before you got saved, you were smoked heavily. You smoked a lot. And you had damage to your lungs because of that. And you've been saved for a few years now, but you still have respiratory issues because of that. Well, God's just cleaning out your lungs. He's sorting out that breathing difficulty. And you're not going to live in the effects of the past any longer. You're going to live fully healthy in your lungs and your breathing right now. Father, I thank you. I praise your name. God's touching people's hearings. Some other taste buds, that somebody with your taste buds that have been an issue and you can't taste certain things. God's healing you in your taste buds in that sense right now. Father, I thank you. I praise your name. Praise your name. Just grab what is yours. Grab it right now. Grab it. Grab it. Grab it. Like the woman pressed through the crowd and grabbed his garment. I'm going to have what is mine. I'm going to have what is mine. Grab it right now. Thank you, Jesus, for your healing power. Just raise your hands with thanksgiving now. Just raise your hands and say, Father, I thank you for what is mine. I thank you this sickness goes. I thank you this disorder leaves. I thank you the repetitive cycle of this infirmity is broken off of my life right now. And I thank you for your healing grace. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Just begin to give him a shout of praise and thanksgiving. Some of you are receiving right now. Some of you, the miracle is being set in motion. The beginning of that release is taking place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just lift all those friends and family that we're bringing before the Lord right now, that we're praying for, reaching out to, witnessing to, whoever they may be, friends, family, work colleagues, whoever they are, neighbors. Father, we just lift every person. Just name them before the Lord. We're going to keep doing this till we see all of these people come right through to know him. Father, we lift every person, every family, every couple, every household to you right now. We thank you for the release of your salvation, the release of your salvation in these lives, in those homes. Father, we thank you. We praise your name. We're going to keep going to the stronghold to see breakthrough so that when we witness to them, we're going to see a breaking out of who you are in their lives. Father, we thank you. As we've received, we can freely give. And Father, I thank you for your power that is at work in us right now. We thank you. We can take that same power out to our friends and family, work colleagues, neighbors, and see you touch their lives and move powerfully in their lives. Father, I thank you. You have the same power in you today that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that raised that girl from the dead, the same power that that lady, she pressed through the crowds healed. You have the same power in you, the same Holy Spirit. And I believe Jesus just says to us to say, hey guys, just believe. Just believe. It's never too late. It's never too late. Just believe. Just believe. Believe. Your friends and family coming to know the Lord, just believe. Receiving miracles, just believe. Receiving breakthrough, just believe. Father, we praise you. We thank you. We praise you. Come on, let's thank the Lord, shall we? Let's give him a shout of praise and thanksgiving this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you know that God is doing something in your body in some way or other? We're going to keep going. Just believe. Just keep going. Keep thanking him. God's activating faith, releasing faith. We want to encourage you. Meditate on the word. Meditate on his word. Where does faith come from? From hearing. She heard about Jesus. Faith was released. If I've heard about him, I'm just going to now go to him. Jairus had heard. I've heard, so I'm going to go to him. Why? Because they'd heard about him. Faith had been released in their lives. Just turn to some people around you and say, hey, just believe.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.